Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. Thank you all for coming. We're going to go ahead and get started. If you can go ahead and find your seats. First song we're going to sing this morning, song number 410 in our hymnals. Song number 410, Faith is the Victory. Song 410, Faith is the Victory. Sing it out to the Lord on the first.
In camps along the hills arise, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle river, shall fill the golden skies. Against the golden bells below,
second.
His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road of saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they light the world with breath, swept on o'er every field. Darkened by ways they conquered death. Is still our shining.
everyone's singing this morning. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for everyone that's gathered here. We ask, Lord, that you bless this service and you put your Holy Spirit in this room so that we can walk out better Christians than we came in, for your honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, next up we have song number 244. Song number 244, Amazing Grace. Song 244, Amazing Grace. Sing it out on the first.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already found. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
On the last.
When we've been there 10,000 years, my shining as the sun, we've no less days to see God's grace than when we first begun.
Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, you can lift up your hand nice and high. One of our ushers can come by and get you guys a bulletin. On the front, we have our memory passage, Jude 1, verse 23. And we're getting really close to wrapping this up. On the inside, our service and soul winning times. Church-wide meets here at the building, regional meets in different parts of the city and area. One of the newer times was Brother Milstead in Denton. So if you'd like to check out that time. Also, our church stats are down below. Please keep a track of all of your stats and put them in the group chat. If you do have someone that you're soul winning partner with, please at least give us a last name, initial or something. That way we can get those accurate. If you have maps that are finished, the done bin out here in the hallway is where you can place that. On the right is our expecting ladies list. Please be in prayer for them. Also, our soul winning marathon coming up this Saturday, Tyler, Texas. It's going to be it's about an hour and a half away. If you are planning on going to that event, please make sure to sign up in our welcome table. We have a sign-up sheet for those who are participating. We'll be meeting here if you want to carpool around 7 a.m. Otherwise, you can just meet us out there. The address is listed in the bulletin. Upcoming events, we have another soul winning seminar October 4th. It's probably about, and I don't know, maybe 30, 45 minutes or something. Brother Marcel's going to be doing like some tips on how to basically allow your gospel presentation to become a little more efficient. So just kind of working on speeding up things where it's you know, going to help, especially if you're going to somewhere like the Bahamas or something. Sometimes people are a little bit more receptive, and so you can actually be a little bit more efficient in your gospel presentation. And so he's going to give some tips about that. Our missions trip to the Bahamas is happening October 6th through the 11th. Please be in prayer for it. Pastor Bruce Mejia from First Works Baptist Baptist Church in L.A. is going to come preach for us October 19th. And then we have our Texas Chili Cook-Off at the end of October. So that's a lot of fun and makes all those bean lovers angry. So that's what's really important. But on the back, we have our prayer list. Please be in prayer for our church family. That's really all I have as far as announcements are concerned. We'll go ahead and sing our Psalm of the Week, Psalm 150. It's in our special Psalm hymns and binders.
All right, that's Psalm 150. As the offering plates are going around, would you please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 13. Deuteronomy chapter number 13.
Deuteronomy 13, the Bible reads, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, Let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely, of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known, then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be in heap forever, it shall not be built again. And there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thine hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show thee mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day and for our church. I pray that you give Pastor Shelley the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit now as he expounds on your word to us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to apply this message to our lives and to be better Christians moving forward. We love you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So I want to look here in Deuteronomy chapter 13 at the beginning of this particular passage, and it's bringing up the idea or the concept of a false prophet. And really, what I wanted to do this morning was just talk about false prophets according to the Bible. Now, this subject was a lot more context or a lot more verses than I really was anticipating, but so I'm going to not necessarily be able to go to every mention that the Bible brings up of this subject. But what I want to do is just kind of go through and look what the Bible says about false prophets and identify some of the characteristics of false prophets according to the Bible. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse number 1, the Bible says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So according to the Bible, you could have someone present themselves as a prophet, as some kind of a dreamer, someone that's spiritual, and they say, hey, this special wonder or miracle is going to happen. And the Bible says that even if these things do happen, well, if they're asking you to go after other gods or go after false gods, that they're still a false prophet and they should still be put to death and you should have nothing to do with them. Yep. And so really when we study the Bible itself, those who actually believe the Bible, we can look at the Bible and we can start identifying different religions in the world that would be immediately rejected and be filled with false prophets because they're trying to take us away from the God of the Bible unto another God. And so on the board, I actually wrote here a little bit of stuff that I wanted to kind of walk through this morning. But I just kind of put on the board, and for sake of time, I'm not going to get to all these columns just yet. Some of these, this left side is just the religions of the world. If you just look it up, and I did like Wikipedia or something, I used to do something online to just give us some kind of an idea. I just looked at all the religions in the world. And essentially, you have Christianity is the largest religion in the world. 28% of the world is Christian. 25% is Islamic. 24% is irreligious. And that could be anything from ranging from agnostic all the way to just a hardcore atheist. but basically just not religious in any way. 15% Hindu, 4% Buddhist, and then all of the other religions, and I'm just using a handful. This is not all the other religions. All the other religions in the world only comprise of 2.4% of the world. So only about 2.4% or less are in all of these other particular religions. Some of the biggest of this small category would be the folk religion, I think, is like the largest. Judaism has about 15 million adherents. Sikhism, Shinto, I think is Japanese. And then Taoism, that's kind of more like close to like, I think, Confucianism and some of that. But essentially, you just kind of have this small subset. Now, based on what we just read, though, we could pretty much just start eliminating some of these religions because they're trying to draw us after false gods. Right? I mean, just right off the bat, just one verse, anybody taking away from the God of the Bible is just immediately suspect, is immediately rejected. And so we can pretty much just say, Islam gone. Not only that, because they have a different God, Allah, he doesn't have a son, it's not after the Lord Jesus Christ, false religion. None, of course, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Right, right. So anybody that thinks there's not a God is arguably the dumbest person on the planet. Right. I mean, they're pretty much the dumbest people to exist. They're willingly ignorant of the obvious fact that they're even alive. I mean, where did everything come from? Number two or three, Hinduism, of course, worships all kinds of false gods. This is just kind of a weird satanic religion. Buddhism, also taking away from God. And then look, all of these other ones are the same, including Judaism. But I'm going to leave Judaism for just a second because maybe it give lip service. But it's an antichrist religion, and we'll get there. But this folk religion, Sikhism, Shinto, Taoism, I mean, they're all going after other false gods, okay? So let's we already did really good work so far. Let's just keep going with some more verses in the Bible, though, all right? Deuteronomy 18, just go to the right just a hair. In the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter number 18. You know, people say like, oh, it's so hard to figure out who's right and wrong. Well, really, you could just say, hey, what's the most popular book in human history? Oh, yeah, the King James Bible. And then the King James Bible will tell you, hey, anybody taking away from this God, this is a false religion. So we just already eliminated all those. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So the second mention the Bible says is if someone would make a prediction or say something's going to happen in the future and then it doesn't happen, then we know that that's a false prophet and it's not of God. It's a false religion, okay? Now, I kind of had the red for this is like you just going after other gods just directly. The second one is if you're making false predictions. Now, I kind of drew some other categories. If you go through Christianity, you kind of have four big categories here. You have Catholics, Protestant, Orthodox, cults. Now, for the sake of this sermon, I'm defining Protestant as basically just against the Catholic Church. Now, again, some people will say most Protestants just want to reform the Catholic Church. I don't really want to reform it. I want nothing to do with it. But I'm just saying in general, Protestant is just saying we're protesting. We want nothing to do with the Catholic Church. We're not Catholic. We never want to be Catholic. Within Protestantism, you have Charismatics, Anglican, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, United. This is just a group of United Presbyterians, Adventist, and then Church of Christ. And there's obviously some smaller groups below that. We're just basically going based on size. We talk about Christianity, 50% are Catholic, 37% are some form or variation of Protestant, 12% are Orthodox. That could be looked at as the Greek Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox. And then 1% are cults. This is like your Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? Within Protestantism, the largest group is Charismatics. Or Charismaniacs, really is what you should call them. But Charismatics, 600 million in the world. Now, that number is really big, but I believe it's just because Africa specifically is just like inundated with charismatics, and so that's why that number is just giant. In America, I don't know that it's necessarily this disproportionate in America. It's more just because this is global population, and Africa, by and large, has been heavily influenced by the charismatic movement and charismatic denomination. Anglican, this is like the Church of England. Now it's Episcopalian in America is kind of like what that is. 100 million approximately. Baptist, 100 million. What's interesting about this number, though, is in America specifically, about 50 million people are Baptists. So America almost comprises about 50% of the Baptists globally based on some of the statistics I was looking at. Lutheran, 90 million. Methodist, 80. United, again, this is just kind of like a lot of different United groups, 77 million. Presbyterians, this is kind of your, or your Reformed, this is kind of your Calvinist group, 70 million. The Seventh-day Adventists, 29 million, and then Church of Christ, 3 million. Well, one of the groups on this board that just came to my mind immediately when I read Deuteronomy 18 was the Seventh-day Adventists. Because you have to think like the Advent, that root word, Advent or Advent, is kind of talking about coming again or the returning. So it's talking about Jesus Christ coming again. Well, that's because the Seventh-day Adventists in 1844, let me double check, it was the great disappointment of 1844. So it was October 22nd, William Miller predicted that Jesus Christ was going to come back again, and it was called the great disappointment. So really, what's surprising is how that religion even continued. I mean, how are you using the Bible and it's saying anybody that says something that's going to happen and it doesn't happen is a false prophet, and then they say Jesus is coming back on this date, and then it didn't happen. So obviously we could just mark through them, okay, for that particular point. I would argue we could probably even double tap some of these people. But like another one would be charismatics, because charismatics are constantly making proclamations that are not true. In fact, I saw this in 2020 is all these people saying, God told me Donald Trump's going to win the election. Who heard something like that? Yeah, and charismatics are constantly making predictions all the time. They're not happening. They're not coming true. And, you know, it's just because they're filled with false prophets, okay? So we've been able to kind of just eliminate some of these groups based on some just really basic, simple things. Now, I want to go through the rest of the Old Testament. We'll see how much time allows. But there's one other verse that just came to my mind immediately because I'd immediately thought of Adventists. And it was in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. So go there to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And the reason why Adventists, you know, come to mind is because there's a town south of us, a little bit to the west, called Keene, Texas. K-E-E-N-E. Keene, Texas. This specific town was founded by Seventh-day Adventists. So just like a group, a couple dozen Seventh-day Adventists went out there and just start their own little town. And then they start their own little college. And now it's grown, I think it's like 6,000-7,000 people. And it's mostly just Seventh-day Adventists. But the thing that I realized is we did a sewing marathon in Cleburne. I decided to just go to Keene, which is close by, to just go to some of their apartments. I did not realize what it was when I went there. And then I also realized that the grocery stores and every restaurant there doesn't have meat. Wow. And like a burger. Like, I like want a burger. I want some beef. And it's like, it just doesn't even exist in this entire town. And I was like, man, this is a godforsaken town, I'll tell you what. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look what it says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So people that are commanding to abstain from meats, they don't believe or know the truth. They're false prophets. They're hearkening unto doctrines of devils. And so, really, we could double tap the Adventists here, you know, when it comes to the meat. And this marker is not doing very good. I'm going to have to use a different one. I'll just do the red. I'll double dip with the red. It's all right. There we go. So, and really, when we think about meat, there's just a lightning rod particular meat that we could just use, and it's called bacon. Now, bacon is amazing, okay? I love bacon. Bacon's pretty awesome, but Seventh-day Adventists do not eat pork. So that's something that they avoid. In fact, when I was in that town again, I couldn't even find a burger. It was another great disappointment, I'll just tell you what, okay? I feel like the Seventh-day Adventists are just very disappointing. They don't have salvation. They don't have meat. They get all their predictions wrong. They live in this sad little town, all right? Other religions, though, that don't eat pork would be Judaism. So we can just immediately mark them off the list. They're not God's chosen people. They're false prophets. And look, that's just one of their issues. That's the least of their issues. But it's offensive to me that they don't eat bacon, all right? So already on this list, we pretty much just already, just in a few verses, just realize, hey, Christianity is the only option here. Not only that, when we get into here, you know what? Catholics also on Ash Wednesday and on the Fridays of Lent will not eat certain meats. They're commanded to abstain from other meats. So we can just mark out the Catholics. Orthodox are even worse. Orthodox, they don't eat certain kinds of like beef products and meat on Wednesdays or Fridays of the year.
Wow.
It's like, what is wrong with y'all? Not only that, all of Lent, so the 40 days prior to Easter, that whole 40 days, no meat. The Apostles' Fast, another 12 days in June. Then another 40 days before Christmas, called the Nativity Feast. And then honestly, if you're really observing Orthodox, they have almost a holiday every day where they're worshiping a saint or worshiping something. And then again, they have some dietary restriction. So many Orthodox are just not eating meat virtually at all throughout the entire year. I mean, it's just a very sad religion again. Look, not eating meat will make you sad and depressed and weird. And look, I'm not mad at you if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, but I'm just saying the Bible talks about you being a weaker brother for a lot of reasons. Now, here's the thing. Also, you have the cults, which is the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. I didn't necessarily eliminate them on this point. Some of them do have dietary restrictions and stuff like that, but it's not like universal. It's not like just a taught by all of them. Most of the dietary restrictions are like about coffee and Coke and some of those other things. But as far as meat prohibitions, I don't believe from my research that that's necessarily going to affect any of them. So we've already eliminated, again, lots and lots of different groups. I guess we still have cults on the table, you know, but obviously we'll get there in a minute. And then we have certain Protestant denominations here that we can kind of talk to about. Now, I'm not going to come back to this board for a little bit. I just want to go through the Bible and just kind of give you a semblance, though, of what false prophets are like. Because in general, the Bible warns that there's a lot of false prophets in the Bible, and we can kind of get a picture. What does a false prophet look like, and what does the real man of God look like in contrast to this particular person? So we're going to go through the Bible, and we're going to kind of speed up. Go through it to Isaiah chapter 9. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. In Kings chapter 18, and I'm just going to say a lot of things for you this morning. In Kings chapter 18, the 450 prophets of Baal, they all cut themselves. You can know you're in a false religion when the leader gets up and just starts cutting their body. And blood starts gushing out of their body. That's how you know it's a false prophet. Also, they falsely predict success. They also don't get things accurate in 1 Kings. There's another place where they kind of like are saying, hey, the king, go up and live. Go up and prosper. Go to this battle and prosper. And Micaiah's like, no, you're not going to be prosperous. And they're like, oh, we don't like Micaiah because he never prophesies good of us. So it's like the real man of God in 1 Kings doesn't prophesy good of the king. The false prophets are always saying you're going to be successful. Everything's going to go good. Everything's going to go well. And look, you can see that even today. All the pastors and preachers that surround Donald Trump, they're constantly just only giving him a positive message. A positive report saying that he's only going to be prosperous, he's only going to have success, only good things are going to happen. And look, that's the mark of a false prophet, is someone that's constantly saying all these positive things. Oh, God told me you're going to win the election, but you didn't. False prophet. Isaiah chapter number 9, look at verse 15. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. So what does the Bible teach? That false prophets lie and they lead people to destruction. They cause people to err. Look at chapter 28. Chapter 28, Isaiah 28. And look at verse number 7. Isaiah 28, verse 7. The Bible says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there is no place clean. What's another aspect of a false prophet or a false teacher is that they're a drunkard. that they're a raging alcoholic, that they drink a lot of alcohol, and they're getting drunk. That's another picture of what false prophets are like. Chapter 29, look at verse 9. Stay yourselves and wander. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. So in chapter 28, he says that they're literal drunkards. In chapter 29, he says they're spiritual drunkards, where they basically can't see, they can't understand. And look, false prophets do not understand the Bible. Anytime they go to a passage or they try to explain the spiritual parts of the Bible, they will get it wrong. They're confused. It doesn't make sense to them. In fact, many times they'll even say that explicitly. They'll say they don't understand. Let's keep reading. It says in verse 11, and the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that has learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that has not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. So really important section of the Bible, but he's saying, look, you give the Bible to these guys and they say, I can't understand this. This doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what it means. It just makes me think of that Nazarene pastor. Anybody knows, in Watauga, you know, Pastor Dylan Oz, he was there and he was preaching that, you know, we should line up all the faggots against the wall and we should shoot them in the back of the head as the government. That's what Pastor Oz had preached, and it got a lot of attention. Well, then this Nazarene pastor right next by is like giving them food and trying to bring them in his church. But he gets up and preaches a sermon. And he says like, hey, Leviticus 20:13. Yeah, it does say homosexuals should be put to death. He kind of like whispers it. It's like, yeah, the Bible does say that. And then he's like, me and all my buddies in seminary and all these places, we're just always wondering, like, what does it mean? Like, what is it saying? What is it trying to communicate? It's like, it's real obvious. You already told us what it means. But isn't it funny? It's like the Bible saying, hey, what is a false prophet like? It's like one where you literally hand them the Bible, they read it, and then they say, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it's saying. I can't understand it. Look, that is what a false prophet is like. And look, that's not even a spiritual understanding. That's the most basic understanding of the text. Every other passage in the Bible, like murder is being put to death, rape is being put to death, I bet he can figure that one out. Yeah. It's just it's not popular to say what the Bible says on the issue today, so he's a coward, and because he's a false prophet, he lies and says, I don't know what it means. Right. He does know what it means. He just doesn't like what it means. Yeah. So, of course, what do? They teach doctrines by the precept of men. Oh, well, men say that it's normal. Men say that people are born that way. Men say that it's cool. No, no, no. Who cares what men say? We care what the Bible says. Because men can be wrong. Men are liars. But the Word of God is the truth. We need to understand that the truth is based on the Word of God, not what we think, not what we believe. Isaiah 30, look at verse 9. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not. And the prophets prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn you aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. So here in this passage, it's saying, look, the people are rebellious and they just want someone to lie to them. They want someone to preach something smooth unto them. And so what are false prophets like? They lie, they deceive, and they preach smooth things. What's the contrast though? What is the contrast? Well, it says in verse number 11, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So there's the smooth things and then there's what the Bible says. And he's saying, don't tell us the Bible. Deceive us, lie to us, tell us things that are not true, prophesy deceits, prophesy something nice, give us a positive message. And look, that is what false prophets do, is they're paid to lie and they're paid to give a positive message when the Bible doesn't have one. Right. Now look, I'm not saying the Bible doesn't have positive messages. I'm not saying the Bible doesn't have good things. It does. Of course, we all say that. The good guy, the bad guy, all prophesied the good parts of the Bible, but then there's also negative parts of the Bible, and those are the parts that the false prophets will not teach correctly. They do not say what the Bible says, and they just skip and don't bring up. You always wonder, like, why is it that when you go to the non-denominational churches, you go to these places, and they're never reading any of the Bible? They're not going to lots of places in the Bible. Why? Because there's nothing positive in those parts of the Bible for them to preach. So they just avoid them. They hide them from the people. They don't bring them up to the people so they can cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before them. So the false prophets are constantly lying to people. They don't understand the Bible. And they're the smooth guys. They're just so smooth. They're like a used car salesman. Tell me lies. This car's going to work great. This car's awesome. You're not going to have any problems with it. That's what you want to hear. But you know what? It's all a lie, isn't it? Go to Jeremiah chapter number 2. Actually, go to Isaiah 56 first. I'll go there one more place. I'm not going to all the different parts of the Bible, but the men of God are supposed to turn you from your evil ways by preaching the law. And consistently, we see the false prophets do not want to preach the law, and they're not telling people to stop sinning. Isaiah 56 talks about false prophets, and it describes them as dogs. Now, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. So what do we see here, the Bible describing them? It's dumb dogs. What's dumb here? It's not talking about being stupid. It's talking about not being able to bark, not being able to make a noise, being silent. So what is it saying? It's saying the false prophets, they never warn against God. They never warn against the commandments. They never warn against God being upset with you. They're dumb in that regard. Yeah. They never say anything negative. It's Joyce Meyer's, God's not mad at you. Not only that, they're greedy dogs, meaning they can never have enough money. They're insatiable. Just like a dog itself, you put out the food bowl and the dog will eat until it's gone. You know, cats will kind of just pick a little bit and then move on, come back later. Like you can kind of, for a lot of cats, you can just set food out and they'll come back to it here and there. They don't necessarily just decide, I'm going to eat it all right now. Yeah. Whereas a dog, it doesn't matter if you put out a day's worth of food, 2 days' worth of food, a week's worth of food, the dog will consume it. Yeah. In fact, he'll consume it so much that he might even vomit and then he'll eat the vomit because that's what a dog is like. And it's saying this is what a false prophet is like, is he can never have enough money. There would not be enough. He can't have enough things. He just wants everything. Here's another thing they can't have enough of is wives. You know, you look at this group, talk about greedy dogs. You talk about Joseph Smith of the Mormons stealing everybody's wife. And then not even having enough wives, so they have to keep getting younger and younger and younger to the point where he's a literal pedophile. Yeah. Yes, Joseph Smith is a literal pedophile, just like the exact same religion of Mormonism is Islam, which Muhammad is the same way. Someone that can't have enough wives, so he heaps unto himself all these wives, including Aisha, who's a little girl, yeah. And consummates the marriage when it's just a little girl because he's a literal pedophile again. Okay? So you can really tell what these false prophets are like. They're greedy. They can't have enough. They just want an insatiable amount of money, an insatiable amount of women, and just lust, and they just can't be satisfied with anything. Of course, they also don't understand. Did you notice that? Shepherds that cannot understand. They just don't understand the Bible at all. Now go, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter number 2. Now, Jeremiah really, honestly, is just hammering false prophets in this text. It's just a major, major component of the book of Jeremiah. And look, I appreciate these kind of sermons because when I grew up, I just thought everybody's saved and everybody loves God and everybody's just like, right? And it took me a long time to realize, you know, the Catholics are false prophets. It took me a long time to even realize Orthodox even exists, but they're false prophets. Or some of these cults and a lot of these denominational differences. I thought it's just like, hey, some people sing with a rock band, some people sing, you know, older style music. That's what I thought the difference was. But that is not the main difference. That is not the big picture. Because even Mormons will sing hymns, but they're still a cult. Okay? And obviously, there's going to be some in this Baptist group that have a rock band, and yet they still somehow have the right gospel. There's going to be some of that. It's very rare, very limited in scope. But we can't necessarily judge a church only by its music, because that's not the biggest deciding factor. We're going to what the Bible says, and we're judging them based on the false prophet passages of the Bible. Now, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says this: "The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit." So it's interesting. It's saying these prophets, the prophets of God, they're prophesying by Baal and things that do not profit. And I was trying to think about this. You know, it's kind of weird, but it does happen where preachers and pastors will get up and they will literally preach doctrines that are coming from false religions. Yep. Or they'll give quotes from false religions. Or they'll give lip service to all kinds of false religions. Or they'll yoke up with all kinds of false religions. And they're prophesying, in a sense, by Baal. They're preaching Baal's doctrines and doctrines that are not in the Bible. They're coming from false religion, from Buddhism, from, you know, the pagan Catholicism. You know, all kinds of weird Mary doctrines that are coming from the Catholic Church. And all kinds of strange false religions that have influenced Christianity or influenced even people of God, where they're not preaching the Bible anymore. They're preaching by Baal, in a sense. Not only that, they're preaching things that don't profit. Because look, things that are not biblical will not profit you. They'll not help you. They do not do anything good. You know, anything that's true has a principle or a root in the Bible somewhere, and all the things that are not in the Bible are just false. Look at chapter 2, verse 26 now. Just go a little bit further. "As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us." So it's funny, he's saying the false prophets, they're into idolatry. They're bringing up, you know, a piece of wood or a piece of stone and saying, this is somehow our gods, or this is our father, or whatever. Or they get a graven image of Mary, this is our mother, you know, just whatever. Look, the Catholics are into idolatry. Hinduism, super into idolatry. All kinds of these false religions into idolatry, and you know what, that's another false prophet. If they have anything to do with idolatry, you know, they have that little crucifix around their neck, false prophet. They have some kind of an idol or something like that, you know what, false prophet, have nothing to do with them. These are people that are not of God. Go to chapter 5 and look at verse 11. We're just kind of going through Jeremiah here. Jeremiah 5, look at verse 11. "For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine." Here's where you're going to see a consistent message, is that the false prophets are always saying, God's not punishing us. God's not mad at us. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing bad. That's what they're saying. Hey, God's not bringing any evil against us. This is not of God. Nothing bad's going to happen to us, but they're lying. Look at verse 30. "A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" So he's saying, hey, they preach lies, but then the people, they love it. This is what I was wondering, like, why do people love preachers lying to them? Why is it that people want to go and hear someone lie to them? And here's why they want them to lie to them, is because they are guilty of sin too, and they don't want to give it up, so they want to go hear someone lie to them so they're not confronted on their sin. Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil, is what the Bible says. And so because they commit adultery, they don't want the preacher to get up and say that adultery is wrong. Because they get divorced, they don't want the preacher to get up and say divorce is wrong. Because they have some faggot in their family, they don't want someone to get up and say faggots are disgusting reprobates that should be put to death. Because they have some sin issue, because they're a drunkard, they don't want the preacher or the pastor to get up and say that alcohol is poison. They don't want someone to get up and say fornication is a sin and you shouldn't go to bed with someone that you're not married to. They don't want someone to get up and say, hey, you need to go to church, you need to read the Bible, you need to go out soul winning, you need to preach the gospel. They don't want to hear that. So they want someone to come and lie to them. They don't want to believe that their cousin or their uncle or whoever that's not saved is going to go to hell. So they want someone to lie to them and say, well, I just think, you know, as long as you've done more good than bad, you know, God will probably be merciful, or that's God's, you know, decision to judge, or, you know, I think that hell is just here on earth and just separation from God. You know, it's all these false doctrines. Why? Because they don't want to know the truth. They hate the truth because they're evil, and so they love to have people lie to them. That's why people go to a church like that. You know, why do you go to a church like this? Because you just want to hear what the Bible has to say.
Amen.
You know, the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And we should be emphasizing the truth in church, not what's popular, not what's smooth, not what's just nice, what's true. That is what the Bible is emphasizing, and we should tell people what's true, not what they want to hear. But that's what the Bible's filled with, is false prophets lying to them. Look at chapter 6, verse 13. And this is a common thing that's brought up by them. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. He's saying, hey, they're just, oh, we're going to be prosperous. Everything's good. No problem. Peace, peace. Look at chapter 8, verse 10. Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one of the least, even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's like God's like, hey, I want you to get the message. In chapter 6, they're saying peace, peace. Chapter 8, they're saying peace, peace. They're given to covetousness. And look, what is going to be the result? Someone's going to come and take their wives away from them. You know, if someone was going to come and try to steal your family away tonight, wouldn't you want to know about that? Wouldn't you want to be warned? Wouldn't you want to have someone give you heed and say, hey, you need to change your ways. You need to be prepared. You need to be warned because someone's going to come and invade you and take your wives away and take your family away. Wouldn't you want to defend your family? But these people, they just want to hear lies until they are destroyed. Chapter 13, verse 13. Chapter 13, verse 13. Why don't those women just rise up an army and fight back? Women can't fight wars, folks. It's never happened, never will happen. Men have always been in charge of this world. It's a man's world. Sorry, ladies. Now you get to choose which men are going to rule over you. You know what? You don't want weak men to rule over you, because then strong men will come and take you away from them. And you'll be in subjection to someone. You know, women aren't ruling this world. They never will rule this world. They will always be in subjection to someone. And you know what? You'd be better off being in subjection to your husband that's a God-fearing man than a bunch of Christ-rejecting Jews that are your boss at the bank or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to be they're not going to treat you as well. They don't care about you. Jeremiah 13, verse 13. In fact, we see how the Jews treat women, don't we? The Weinsteins and the Epsteins. And all the Steins, it's like every Stein, you know what I mean? And it's like, why is it that it's a, quote, hashtag Me Too movement, and you have these people just degrading women and treating them like trash and objectifying them and harming them and all this stuff that's going on, and then they're just like, oh, but, you know, being under a husband is just so oppressive. It's lies. It's lies of the media. It's lies of the government. Look. Go get a job in the career place, and you'll be just as harassed and oppressed as you could ever wish. You know, being in a house where you have a husband that actually loves you and cares for you, that is the least amount of, quote, oppression you'll ever experience. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 13. Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. Notice again that they're drunk. Chapter 14, verse 13. Chapter 14, look at verse number 13. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye see famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Oh, it's just peace, man. You're not going to have any problems. You're not going to have any difficulties. Just peace. Just everything's going to be great. Everything's wonderful. Everybody's going to have fun. You know, that's what they said about gay marriage, that it wasn't going to be a slippery slope into hell.
Yeah.
But then it's just like trannies just keep blowing kids away almost every couple months. We just have another tranny shooting and another tranny shooting and another tranny shooting. And they're just saying, oh, it's just peace, man. It's just so much peace. Just so much love. Look, that's not love.
Look, the false prophet should be saying, look, there's something wrong with these people. And look, it's not just the trannies. You know, I saw this stupid, you know, post, I think it was by Megyn Kelly, that said, finally, the LG is going to separate from the TQ. Look, it's the same group. Look, how do you even say that after Charlie Kirk was shot by the G? It wasn't his buddy, the T. It was the G. And let me explain something. They're all faggots, and they're all reprobate, and they're all, they go both ways. And let me tell you something. They're all of Satan. They're reprobates. They're God-hating. They're violent. You know, the Bible didn't say put the T's to death. It said the LGBTQ and plus, especially the plus, all right? Whatever that is. Oh, but you know what? That kind of preaching is going to cause problems. You know, if we didn't preach that, we would have peace. No. You will not have peace. You could kill me, kill Charlie. I mean, did you see the hundreds of thousands of these people celebrating online and saying, hey, now we need to kill their family too? They're saying, let's kill his wife. Let's kill his children. Getting online saying, we need to do this to all the conservatives. We need to do this to every person that's pushing back. Look, you don't think the protesters that protest us want to kill us? Of course they do. Of course, the sodomites and the fags of this world, they want to kill every Christian. Right. They want to kill every conservative. In fact, in Ireland, there was some like Catholic priest that was getting persecuted against just because he said it was a sin. Just because he said there was anything wrong with it. Look, even when you get to complete tolerance, because you say like, well, what if we just said, it's not a sin, we love you, we affirm you, we think that you're great. They still hate themselves. And they're just a destructive force. You know, whenever those two men came into Sodom, they weren't telling anybody it was a sin. They were just in their house doing their own thing, and they came and they wanted to rape them and murder them. That woman, that concubine that came into Judges chapter 19, she wasn't rebuking them. She wasn't Pastor Shelley getting on TV or getting on the internet screaming and yelling about how disgusting they are. She's just in her house eating food, and they come and they take her out of the house, violently rape her and kill her, because that's what these people are like. There's no such thing as tolerance. You can't tolerate rapists and murderers and pedophiles. There's no such thing as tolerating that. You're just allowing them to terrorize society. And there's no peace when violent rapists and pedophiles are roaming the streets. And there never will be peace. It's, you know, only a false prophet would say something like that. Only a brain dead idiot, someone that hates children, would say something so disgusting and evil and ignorant and foolish. You must be drunk that you're saying that. And you must not care about anybody or society at all. Look what it says in chapter 23. Chapter 23, what are these people like so far? Well, they don't understand the Bible. They're cutting themselves. They teach lies. They're drunkards. They're preaching the commandments of men, not the Bible. Everything is smooth. Everything's nice. Everything's peace, 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 peace. A little bit of booze, more peace. It's just like, hey, who's past the beer, we're going to have a good time. Chapter 23, look at verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord, because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. So what is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying that everyone's committing adultery, including the prophet and the priest, and they are profane in the house of God. Just a bunch of adultery in the house of God. And yet, it says in verse 13, and I've seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers. This is them preaching their pro-faggot message. Their pro-murder message. Their pro-rapist message. Their pro-wolf message. They strengthen the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants as Gomorrah. And of course, it says in verse 16, it says, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and out of the mouth of the Lord. And it says in verse 17, they say, still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. Notice, I mean, they're committing adultery. Everybody's drunk. I mean, it's just so profane. All this weird stuff is happening. And then they're just like, yeah, it's going to be peace. God's not mad. God's not mad at adultery. God's not mad at drunkenness. God's not mad. I mean, how are they reading the Bible? Yeah. No one's reading the Bible. No one wants to hear what the Bible has to say on these particular issues. They're saying peace. It's just lies. Look at chapter 26, verse 4. Chapter 26, verse 4. Now, here's the thing. False prophets do occasionally have a negative message. And I found their negative message, all right? Let's see if we can figure out. What's the one thing false prophets will preach against? All right? Chapter 26, verse 4. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if you'll not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I send unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Now let's stop for a second. This is Jeremiah preaching. He's saying, look, if you guys don't hearken to me, if you don't walk in my law, if you don't keep my commandments, and you don't listen to these prophets, then I'll make your house like Shiloh. Jeremiah didn't say this house is going to be Shiloh. He didn't say you're going to be destroyed. He says, if you don't follow God's commandments, if you're not doing what God said, then you'll be like Shiloh. That's his message. We should fear God, keep his commandments so he doesn't destroy us. That's his simple message. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Here's their one negative message. Someone gets up, keep God's commandments or he's going to punish us. And they're like, kill that guy. Yeah. Right? It's like someone gets up and says, hey, you can't let rapists and pedophiles and murderers go around. You know, they're going to cause problems and God's going to want to destroy us. And it's like, kill that guy. Yeah. Not the rapist, not the violent murderer, not the tranny, yeah, not the dude in a dress trying to convince everybody he's a woman. It's ma'am. Not that guy. The preacher getting up and preaching God's word. That guy, kill him. Because you know what? That's what false prophets are like. They hate the man of God. They hate the word of God. They hate what the Bible says. Verse 9, why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Now here's the thing. He didn't say it's going to be Shiloh. He says if you don't follow God's commandments, it'll be like Shiloh. But then they just say, they're just like taking like, how are you saying it's going to be Shiloh? They're not even saying that we're going to quit. They're like, well, I guess it's going to be Shiloh then, because we're not giving up our adultery and we're not going to follow God's commandments and we're not going to do that. Well, then it's going to be Shiloh. And that's the reality. When a country or a nation just goes against God's word, God will destroy it and make it desolate. You know what? There's no exception whatsoever. Go to, for sake of time, I'm going to speed up. Go to chapter 28. Other things, chapter 27, the false prophets say that the vessels of God are going to turn from Babylon. Doesn't happen. He says that he's going to break the yoke of Babylon off of the neck of the children of Israel. So he breaks a literal yoke off of Jeremiah's neck. Multiple false prophets break this yoke saying, hey, you're not going to have this. And it was a yoke of wood. And then God tells him, hey, go give him a yoke of iron, because, you know, you're going to be heavily punished. And in fact, those specific prophets died and were killed and all kinds of horrible things happened to them. Chapter 28, look at verse 15. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. They make people trust in a lie. Chapter 29, verse 21. Chapter 29, verse 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Coliah, and of Zedekiah, the son of Messiah. Now, just what he's saying, this is what God is saying about what these guys are saying. So this is what Ahab said, the son of Coliah, and this is what Zedekiah said, the son of Messiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. So he's saying, they're prophesying lies unto you, but I'm going to, saying, you know, peace, 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 but I'm going to give them unto the king of Babylon specifically. Now it says in verse 22, and of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Why? Because they committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Even I know and am witness, saith the Lord. So saying, why did God allow these guys to get roasted in the fire and slain? Because they were committing villainy, because of their adultery. And look, when we look at false prophets in the Bible, one super common thing is that they commit adultery.
Yep.
Adultery is rampant. Now, again, I've been leaving this board alone. We can immediately eliminate the cult groups, okay? Tons and tons of adultery in those particular groups. And, you know, there's other things that are really bad. But, like, when we look at a lot of these other groups, and I haven't gotten there yet, but of Christianity, especially this group, adultery runs rampant in the charismaniacs.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of looking up some stuff. Now, I'm just going to give you just people that have committed just outright, just blatant adultery. Jim Baker. Now, he was like a big televangelist. Look, if you're on TV and a charismaniac, you're a false prophet. Like, there's pretty, it's just like guaranteed locked in. Ted Haggard, which is also a faggot, too. He committed adultery and is a faggot. Faggot, whatever. It's all the same. Carl Lentz. You know, this is the guy that was in charge of that Hillsong church plant in New York City. Guy committed adultery. Eddie Long. Ravi Zacharias. Your beloved little apologist out there committing rampant adultery. How about Robert Morris, the pedophile? Which, you know, is insane to me, because I'm thinking, like, how do people still go to Gateway? But look, I drove by the parking lot the other day, and it was filled. I mean, there's cars, like, overflowing into the grass at this little Gateway, you know, spinoff location, one of their campus locations or something like that. And again, I was thinking, like, how are people going to a church like that? I guess they just don't want to hear against adultery. They don't want to hear any preaching against adultery, do they? Jimmy Swaggart. There's another guy named David Loveless. Well, that's a fitting name. He founded a church in Orlando called Discovery Church, and then he was fired after committing adultery, and then First Orlando hired him.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, like, why are you hired? Like, if he's not good enough for his own church that he founded, why is he good enough for this other church? As their, like, campus pastor or something like that. I mean, it's just insane how these people just are shuffling all these pastors around. Now, here's the thing. The Bible also teaches that if you divorce your wife and you marry another, that's also adultery.
Yeah.
And look, when you look at these pastors and these false prophets, they're filled with adultery and divorce and remarriage. What are people like that? How about Paula White? Wasn't she like a Trump advisor at one point or something like that? This divorced woman going around. And look, it's called the man of God for a reason. All right. Paula White should have nothing to do with Donald Trump or vice versa. Here's another one, Amy Simple McPherson. Who's ever heard of this person? I've never really heard of her. She was the founder of the Four Square Church, and she was also divorced. Benny Hinn, divorced. Charles Stanley, your beloved little Calvinist Presbyterian dude, divorced. And Andy Stanley, his son, is a fag-loving idiot.
Yeah.
He's way worse than Charles Stanley. Kenneth Copeland, another guy that's been divorced twice before his ministry. Well, I'm noticing a pattern between these people. Perry Noble, this guy of New Spring, he started one of his church services with Highway to Hell as their first song to sing as a congregation. Highway to Hell, and he got a lot of attention for this. Well, then he got ousted for being this, like, raging alcoholic, this drunkard. And then, of course, him and his wife got separated. It's rumored there may have been issues there. I don't know. But he for sure divorced his wife. And then remarried later. And now has a church called Second Chance Church. How cute, right? For the adulterer false prophet. Let's give him another chance to ruin our lives, right? Or how about Greg Locke, who is a fundamental Baptist preacher, divorces his wife, runs off with a secretary, and then, you know, how many people are going to want to go to a fundamental Baptist church when the pastor runs off with the secretary? So you know what he becomes? A charismaniac. Because he's a false prophet.
Right.
And now him and his runaway secretary are labeled as apostles,
wow,
if you can believe that. Not just Greg Locke. This secretary home-wrecking whore is an apostle.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, that is the world that we live in. And you know, Greg Locke is one of the biggest Zionists out there, just basically bleeding white and blue or something like that. Just the guy cannot love Israel hard enough. And it's just like, why? Because he's a false prophet. Just loving the synagogue of Satan, hating fundamental Baptists, and he's preaching all these smooth things, we're going to have success, and Trump's our savior, and all just nonsense. Again, because the false prophets fit the same pattern over and over and over again. Do not go to a church where the pastor has been divorced and remarried, where he's committed adultery. That should just be, it's over. Nope, you're not the pastor. And look, someone that's saved, I believe they're going to step down and just take their lickings or whatever. Yeah. They're not going to sit there and continue pastoring. They're not going to become charismatic. They're not going to change religions. That's a false prophet.
Right.
They're not going to drop the King James Bible because of it. You know, that's a wicked person. Look at verse 32. We're here in chapter 29. Look at verse 32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. Look, what do these false prophets do? They love to teach you God's not going to punish you, God's not mad at you, you don't need to worry about the law, and they teach rebellion against God. Anybody telling you you don't need to keep God's commandments or you don't need to worry about them or you're already sanctified, Joe Jones, yeah. Hey, you know what? That's wicked. It sounds like a false prophet to me.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with someone like that. Deconstructing your faith, turning away from all the things that you've been taught. Go over to Ezekiel chapter 13. You know, in Lamentations, the Bible says about false prophets that they're vain, that they teach foolish things, they give false burdens. In chapter 4, it says that they're guilty of the blood of the just. It says they will kill God's people. They will kill innocent people. They are murderers. False prophets are murderers. Ezekiel chapter 13, look at verse number 2. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say, thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Look, these charismaniacs, when they get up, God gave me a word. God gave me a vision. God said this to me. They're all lying.
Right.
Every time.
Right. Yep.
If you're going to say God said, you better have a quotation of the Bible.
Yep.
You better have book, chapter, and verse. Because that is what God said. And in fact, not even everything in here God directly said. Sometimes it's the devil talking.
Yep.
Sometimes it's a false prophet talking in the Bible. If you want to tell me what God said, you better show me in the Bible, and you better show me where it's God saying it, or the Holy Ghost is saying it, for it to be thus saith the Lord.
Right.
But you know what? You go to a lot of churches today, and they'll say, well, God told me this, and God told me that. They're just prophesying out of their own heart, and they've seen nothing.
Right. Yeah.
They're liars. They don't even know what they're saying. They're fools. Look, God is not this chatty Cathy that's just talking to a bunch of adulterous weirdos only. No, no, no. He's talking to all of us through God's word. You know what I love about that is no one is limited in understanding what God's message is. All of us have the same capability and the same opportunity to read the Bible and to understand what God's message is for us. No one is limited by accessibility in America, at least. We all got a King James Bible in our hand. Now, of course, you have to be saved to understand the Bible. But look, once you're saved and you have a King James Bible, you can understand every single thing that God wants you to understand. Now, why come to church? Well, it's nice that you have people study the Bible for extended periods of time, read the Bible tons of times, so that they can show you things that they've learned, that the Holy Ghost has taught them, to kind of help you. Also to be rallied around together, to have unity, to encourage one another. And look, I believe that God still uses preachers and pastors to communicate his word effectively and to help bring applications. And sometimes we all have a soft spot for our own sin. And it's nice to have the preacher, even though you don't like it, it's nice to have the preacher every once in a while call you out, you know, step on your toes a little bit and bring up the passages that you didn't really want to look at or hear or understand or whatever. So yeah, we still need church, but nothing is stopping you from going home and reading the Bible and understanding anything that God has for you. You can understand all of it from the Bible. But these people, these false prophets, they act like they're getting these secret messages from God and they're liars. Now, it says in verse 10 of chapter 13, because they have seduced my people, saying what? Peace. I feel like there's a consistent message between these people, isn't it? Peace, 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 peace. No punishment, no punishment, no punishment. Peace, peace, peace. And then they just keep getting destroyed, 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 don't they? Verse 16. To wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of what? Peace for her. And there is no peace, saith the Lord God. He's saying, what in the world is this peace message when there's no peace? Just doesn't make sense. But false prophets want to constantly talk about peace and that God's not mad at them. Look at chapter 22. Chapter 22, now the Bible tells us in chapter 14 that when a prophet is deceived, it's because God deceived them. God deceived the false prophets to make them look like fools and to make them look like idiots. Chapter 22, verse 25, the Bible says there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profane among them. They don't show a difference between clean and unclean. Here's clean, a virgin. Here's unclean, a disgusting faggot that slept with 1,000 people and has every STD, including AIDS. Yeah. That's unclean. Yeah. Look, I mean, it's just like, oh, there's no difference between these two people. There's a major difference between these two people.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? The man of God should get up and explain things that are the clean and the unclean, the godly and the ungodly, what's right and what's wrong, and what God's law says. But what does the false prophet do? He violates the word of God. He attacks the word of God. He turns it into nothing. There's so many doors I knock on, and I talk to people, and they say, all sin is equal. Never said the Bible.
Yeah, right, yeah, right.
The Bible does not say that all sin is equal. The Bible says there's greater sins. The Bible talks about vile affections. The Bible talks about things that are natural and unnatural and clean and unclean.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some sins are punished with the death penalty. Some sins aren't even a crime.
Yeah.
They're not equal. They're not the same. Now, look, every sin will cause you to deserve hell. But at the end of the day, you know what? It's not all equal. And you know what? False prophets love to do this stuff. Go, if you would, to Hosea 4. I probably need to just speed up so I can get to just some conclusions here. But there's so much to talk about on this subject because the Bible just has so much to say about false prophets. But they eat the fat and they scatter the flock of God. Hosea chapter 4, look at verse number 6. This is kind of a famous verse in the Bible. And Hosea, of course, has to marry a whore to illustrate what the children of Israel are like as a whole. And they just kind of whore against him. Chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Look, we cannot forget the law of God. Chapter 9, verse 7 says about false prophets, the days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. You know, talk about madness. You know that Andy Stanley guy? He got up and was trying to explain to some guy that he couldn't serve on their ministry team because he had divorced his wife to be with another dude.
What?
And this other dude and him were not married. And he was still married to her. So he said, the reason why you can't serve on our ministry team here is because you're committing adultery. Not because you're a flaming faggot, but because you're committing adultery somehow. Like, that's madness.
Yeah.
It's weirdness. He's like, you still come to the church. You can still be here. You just can't be part of the welcome team yet. So it's like, I guess you have to divorce your wife to be with a fag dude and then marry him, and then you can be on the welcome team at his church. I mean, this is madness.
Yeah.
This is literal madness.
Yeah.
It's a madhouse. I mean, it's like Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston. He's just screaming. It's a madhouse. What is going on in Christianity?
Yeah.
How do you not believe anything in the Bible?
Yeah.
That's what false prophets are like. Complete madness.
Yeah.
And verse 8, the watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways and hatred in the house of his God. Look. False prophets hate God, they hate the house of God, they hate God's word, they hate God's commandments, and that's why their preaching is hateful.
Yep.
And they lie to people because they hate them. Micah chapter number two. It's hateful to want to have faggots in your church and faggots in your children's ministry and faggots as the youth pastor. And look, there's churches all over America where that's happening.
Yep.
Micah chapter 2 verse 11. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of his people. Notice again, they're drunkards. They love alcohol. And why do false prophets love alcohol? Well, in Habakkuk, and we didn't read this, they love to put some bottle to someone, to a man, so they can look upon their nakedness. They love to use alcohol and drugs to take advantage of vulnerable people. You know, there's actors and celebrities that have been caught doing this kind of stuff and been called out for doing this kind of stuff. Isn't there a movie? I think his name's Kevin. What's his name? Kevin Spacey. Yeah, Kevin Spacey was basically taking guys to the bar, getting them drunk, and then trying to, like, force himself on them because he's a disgusting faggot pedophile predator. Okay? And look, it's not just him. It's tons of different people. They love to use alcohol to take advantage of these type of people. Chapter 3, verse 5, they say peace. Chapter 3, 11, they divine for money. Go to Matthew 7. Zephaniah 3, 4 says they've done violence to the law. Matthew chapter number 7, the Bible warns about false prophets. Now, in this passage, it talks about going to heaven or hell as well. Look at verse 13. Enter into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So notice, you know, some people might get offended by this chart, but according to the Bible, it said the broad way is leading to hell. Why? Because Islam will take you to hell. Being an atheist or having no religion will send you to hell. Being a Hindu will send you to hell. Being a Buddhist will send you to hell. Being a Jew sends you to the lowest hell. Being a folk religion, Sikhism, Shinto, Taoism, all of it going to hell. Oh, well, I'm Christian, I'm Catholic. Hell also. Also, Orthodox are going to hell. Also, all the cults are for sure going to hell. They're pretty close to the Jews, all right? Then when you get into this group, tons of these people are also going to hell because they don't believe in the right gospel. And notice, did you notice that the only people going to heaven are straight? I said straight is the way. It's a different kind of straight. I just wanted to put that out there, right? Maybe you hadn't noticed that in your Bible. But look what it says in the next verse, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Notice that false prophets love to pretend like they're harmless, but they're actually very dangerous. They're predators, they're evil. Now, if we keep reading, it says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What are these false prophets going to do? They're going to bring in a works-based salvation. And really, that's where we can start eliminating some more people. And look, we could triple tap some of these, quadruple tap. I mean, but again, we look at these groups. Look. The Anglicans teach work salvation. The Methodists teach work salvation. The United Groups teach universalism and work salvation. The Church of Christ teaches a hardcore work salvation. Now, I'm kind of saying, like, with the Presbyterians and the Lutherans, you know, again, I think that the main doctrines and their main preachers usually are just teaching work salvation, a lot of them. But sometimes they still give lip service, at least, to faith alone and some of that. And you're going to find people that are saved, of course, in some of these categories, okay? But by and large, again, the Lutherans and the Presbyterians are also mostly not teaching right on these issues a lot of times. And even some Baptists. There's plenty of Baptist churches that are really horrible, that are really awful. But if we're just going to say, you know, based on just a few things so far. I mean, we haven't even done that much. Think about what we've done. We've talked about other gods, false predictions, bacon, and a false gospel. And I mean, we're like already just like, it's Baptist, okay? People are like, oh, it's so hard. It wasn't that hard. Okay. And like, we're just starting eliminating all the people that are committing adultery rampantly and just promoting divorce and remarriage and all this kind of stuff. I mean, that should just be obvious. You know, it's not that hard to figure out who's right. It's just people don't want to know who's right because then they have to change. To say, oh, well, I guess you guys are right. Then I better go to church now. I better start reading my Bible. I better stop drinking. I better stop committing fornication. I better stop committing adultery. And they don't want to do that. That's the reason why they don't want to get saved many times. And that's the reason why they don't want to serve God. And yet, this group of people, they're teaching their work salvation. They think their works are getting them to heaven, but the Bible makes it clear salvation is a free gift. And isn't it funny that people don't want to get saved because they're sinful, even though they don't have to change to get saved?
Yeah.
All you have to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. It's simple, it's free, it's easy. But because they're evil, because they're wicked, and they're afraid of changing their life, they don't even want to hear about the free gift. They don't even want the free salvation. They're just already offended. They're offended that their family members are going to go to hell. They're offended that they grew up in a false religion. They're offended that they're a sinner. They're offended by what sins they've committed. And so as a result, they're offended by not having been right already. The pride of their heart in saying, well, you're telling me I've been wrong for 50 years? Yes. But you know what? There's never a bad time to get saved. Get saved right now. Look at chapter 15, verse 8. Chapter 15, verse 8. Look, work salvation is rampant. Every other religion teaches you go to heaven by being a good person, by following commandments, by doing right. Only the Bible, only the King James Bible, even specifically in some cases, teaches salvation by faith alone. Yeah. Even many of the modern versions will twist verses and corrupt them at times. But look, you need to realize that salvation is a free gift, and it'll eliminate all this junk so fast, all this junk so quickly. And really, look, when we look at Presbyterians, they're going to teach like somewhere kind of Calvinism. And, you know, that you don't even have to believe to be saved. You know, it's just like a laser beam and you just get saved. You know, that's weird. And you have in Lutherans, again, they'll say like faith alone, but a lot of times they're Catholic light. Most Lutherans I've found aren't saved. Some are. But, you know, Baptist is pretty much you're going to be your go-to here. Matthew chapter number 15. I want to look at verse number 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, that's what we actually read in Isaiah, because it's being quoted from Isaiah, where they teach the precept of men. They teach republicanism. They teach Fox News. They just teach whatever the world is saying. Well, I just think that the laws of our country are just right, even though they're ever-changing.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, well, my opinion on the death penalty is whatever the government's current opinion on the death penalty is. No, it should just be whatever the Bible's opinion is. It should be steadfast, unmovable. You know, if you lived in England way back, they had 150 crimes for the punishment of the death penalty. I say around 13, which is what the Bible says. Nowadays, you have states that refuse to have the death penalty. Even for violent serial killers and child molesting rapists and stuff, they won't even put them to death.
Wow.
It's like, you're weird. Do you want us taxpayers to keep funding this guy to rot in prison for no reason?
Yeah.
You know, the death penalty is honestly in some ways gracious compared to, like, rotting in prison anyways. I have just a few more places I want to go to. Go to Acts chapter 13. In Mark 13, the Bible says about false prophets, they do signs and wonders. In Luke 6:26, it says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. That's your Billy Grahams of the world. Hey, when everybody likes you, you're a false prophet. You know, if you're a true man of God, not everyone's going to like you. In fact, most of the world's going to hate you and persecute you. They'll come interview you and put you on display to the whole world, and they'll be like, look at this guy. Isn't he crazy? He believes the Bible. We should go to those churches where they don't believe the Bible. Oh, wait, no one cares about them. They're a million to one, aren't they? Look at Acts 13, verse 6. That's where I wanted you to turn. This is a sorcerer, a false prophet, and this is what I also like about the description, a Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, you're just so anti-Semitic. I'm reading the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we read the Wikipedia on this guy, and it's like early days, he's of Jewish descent, right? He has a Jewish mother or whatever. Acts 13, look at verse 6. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew.
Yeah.
Yes, Jews are false prophets. Whose name was Bar-Jesus. Isn't that interesting that he's like takes the name of Jesus too, right? Bar means son of. So son of Jesus, which is blasphemous, but it is what it is. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Eliamus the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So notice, this Jew wants to turn him away from the faith. Did you notice he also changed his name? That's an interesting thing about Jews. They change their names.
Yeah.
Changes his name to this sorcerer, and then, of course, he gets punished by God. What does Paul say about him? Verse 10. Oh, thou full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You know, that's how the Apostle Paul felt about this guy. He didn't say, oh, you child of God, I should bless you because of Genesis chapter number 12. I mean, where's the Zionist here in Acts chapter number 13? He's not saying, oh, we got to bless them that bless thee. We got to bless the children of Abraham. I mean, this guy is a Jew. The Holy Ghost told he was a Jew. And the Bible says he was a child of the devil. That's what the Bible said. Why? Because God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't care about race. He cares about grace. Whether Jew or Gentile, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not saved. If you believe in Jesus, you're a child of God. It has nothing to do with who your parents are. We all go back to Adam, who was the son of God. We're all the creation of God. But you become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, not by being born by some incestuous cult called Judaism. That's the sermon tonight, all right? If you want to come back, we're going through the book of Acts, all right? You know a Jew that's trying to turn people away from the faith that I was thinking of? Ben Shapiro. Yeah. Using the sorcery of television and the internet. Now, in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1, it just says that people came in saying you had to be circumcised to be saved. That's work salvation. Go to Galatians 1, and we'll see that that's brought up. But Galatians 1, verse 6, and I'm just going, you know, quickly, you can pick up. I marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. What does the Bible say? False gospels and false prophets should be accursed. We should have nothing to do with them. We are not friends with them. We do not support them. They're not going to preach for us. We're not preaching for them. We want nothing to do with them. Yeah. Now look, I'll go anywhere and preach the gospel. But you know what? I'm not going to preach friendly in their church or around them or whatever. You know, I'm not against people going in somewhere and preaching what the Bible actually says. But you know what? I don't want to be buddies with these people. In chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty. Sounds like faggots anyways. Who would want to spy that out? But notice the Bible says they're false brethren. Acts chapter 15 said, those that are saying you have to be circumcised to be saved are later categorized in the Word of God as false brethren. Meaning what? They're not saved. If you add anything to faith for salvation, you're not saved. If you add just one thing, just circumcision or anything, baptism or any of this, not saved. Salvation is a free gift. You can't pay even a penny and receive it. If you try to pay a penny, God will say, I can't sell it to you. I can only give it to you for free. And salvation is that free gift by faith in Jesus Christ. And once you're saved, you're always saved. Yeah. But many people are trying to buy it. Well, I got to be circumcised. Oh, I got to keep the law. Oh, I got to keep these commandments. Oh, I got to do right. And you know what? Those people are not saved. They're going to burn in hell for all of eternity. And that's why it's so, you know, damaging for someone to get up and preach a false gospel. Notice it's not a different gospel. They just pervert it. They're going to get up and say Jesus died on the cross. They're going to say he was buried. They're going to say he rose again. And they're going to say Jesus did his part. Now it's your turn to do your part. You got to repent of your sins. You got to get baptized. You got to do these works. And so by that, they're perverting the gospel of Christ, preaching a false gospel and damning people's souls to hell. Bringing in Daniel heresies is what the Bible says. False prophets are bringing this kind of stuff in. They teach circumcision, the law, all this kind of stuff. Go to 2 Peter 2 and we'll finish there. Other things that the Bible says about false teachers and false prophets is they bring in heresy. They bring in false doctrine. You know, 2 Timothy 2 talks about them bringing in this doctrine saying that the resurrection is past already. So there's your preterists. There's your amillennialists. The Bible's saying these guys are heretics. You want nothing to do with them. You know, in Titus chapter 1, verse 12, it talks about Jews saying the Cretans are always liars. So, of course, they're racist. You know, this racism, false doctrine, all this kind of stuff. And look, the Lutheran Church has a lot of heresies from Rome, and the Presbyterians have a lot of, you know, heresies with Calvinism specifically. So I don't recommend them either. Like, you need to get into a Baptist church that's using the King James Bible and believe salvation by faith. It's the only option. And look, we could go through and look at more verses, but when you look at the false prophets, you also see a consistent message of them being so soft and smooth and loving everything. But what does the Bible say about these people? Look, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm not even going to read all the verses. Verse 1, they bring in Daniel heresies. Verse 3, they're covetous, and they use feigned words, meaning fake words. Verse 10, they despise government. They're self-willed. Verse 12, they speak evil. Of what? Men of God, of authority. You know, they hate the government, And the Bible says in Romans chapter 13 that the government is the minister of God to thee for good. They hate all government. They're spots. They're adultery in verse 14, having eyes full of adultery. Verse 15, they love the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 18, vanity. They just, everything they say is vain. And look, you listen to a false prophet, and you're always wondering, what the heck did that guy just say?
Yeah.
I mean, they get up and they have great swelling words. I was reading in my Bible, and God was saying that, you know, we're weak, and he's strong. And when I looked into his strength, I noticed my weakness, and by my weakness, I gained strength. And it was like, profound, amazing. It's like, dude, that was nonsense.
Yeah.
It's not even what the Bible says. Like, what are you talking about? And then you just listen to these people talk, and you're just thinking, like, what in the world did that guy just say? He has nothing to say, so he doesn't say what the Bible says. He gets up and just talks without talking. It's the weirdest thing, but you know what I'm talking about. Revelation 2 talks about Jezebel. She's teaching false doctrine. You got a woman preacher. Women preachers are false prophets, and they bring in fornication, and they're teaching idolatry and eating things sacrificed on idols. So what's my summary? This is my summary, all right? I made a small list of all the things that we learn about a false prophet. What are they like? They tell you to go after other gods. They make false predictions. They abstain from eating meats and marriage. They cut themselves. They're drunkards. They're liars. They don't understand the Bible. They teach the doctrines of men. They teach smooth things. They teach that God's not going to punish you. Makes me think of the devil that says, you shall not surely die.
Yeah.
They always teach peace. They're constantly committing adultery and causing other people to commit adultery and fornication with them. They use lightness. So they don't teach what the Bible says. They use lightness. They forget the law. They only preach against one thing, the real men of God. That's the only thing they get mad about. And isn't it uncanny when you notice the only time this guy ever got mad in a sermon, it was against other men of God.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing. You know, that Nazarene pastor said, that the one I referenced earlier, he said it was easier for him to pray for human traffickers than for us.
Wow.
How are we worse than literal human traffickers?
Wow.
That's what he said, and the LGBTQ on top of that.
Yeah.
Says that they're greedy, they're guilty of the blood of the just, they put no difference between the holy and profane, they scatter the sheep of God, they hate the law, they wear sheep's clothing, making it seem like they're harmless and innocent and so loving, they teach work salvation, they teach heresy, they're the most popular, Joel Osteen, they pervert the gospel, they're racist, they despise authority, they're self-willed, and ultimately they're vain. And you say, what is the man of God like? The opposite of all this.
Right, yeah.
Instead of other gods, he teaches the one true God of the Bible. Instead of false predictions, everything he says is what the Bible says, and it keeps happening. It's like a movie called LGBT Terrorists that keeps coming true every single week.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't tell you to abstain from meats. They bring barbecue and bacon to the church. They're not telling you to abstain from marriage. They marry you. They don't cut themselves. They work out and take care of their bodies. Not only that, they're not drunkards. They never drink alcohol. They don't lie to people. They tell the truth. They actually understand the Bible. And they don't teach the doctrines of men. They teach the doctrines of God's word. They don't preach smooth. They preach rough. Real rough. They don't say God's not punishing you. They're trying to get you to wake up and realize maybe God is punishing you. They're not saying peace. They're saying warning, warning. They're not committing adultery. They are pure with their wife and their marriage. They're not using lightness. They're using heaviness and soberness. They don't forget God's law. They quote God's law. They put it on a shirt and on a movie. They don't preach against the real man of God. They love the real man of God, and they love anybody that preaches the Bible. They're not greedy, but they're giving. They're not guilty of the blood of any single person. They've never harmed any person. They're not even a striker. They put a clear difference between the holy and the profane. They don't scatter God's flock. They gather God's flock. They don't hate the law. They love the law. They make songs about it called Psalm 119. They aren't pretending to be nice. They are nice. They are a sheep. They don't teach work salvation. They teach salvation by faith. They don't preach heresy. They preach the Bible. They're not popular. They're infamous. They don't pervert the gospel. They preach the real gospel. They're not racist. They love every nationality and every person. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. They don't despise authority, but they love authority, and they want to empower authority against evildoers. They're not self-willed, but rather they're submitting themselves to the word of God. And they're not vain. They're serious. Everything they do is serious. And look, it's pretty clear when you just let the Bible tell you what a false prophet's like and what a real man of God is like. But you know, so many people say like, oh, you guys are so mean. You're not so loving. Why don't you just be like so kind and soft like these other guys? Because they're a false prophet and I want to go to a church where there's a real man of God there. Amen. That's not going to shave his legs and wear skinny jeans with holes in it. You know, the Bible says that the false prophets, they would wear a rough garment to deceive. And I was thinking about all those pastors with their, like, ripped up jeans or something like that, trying to be cool with the congregation. They got their little rough garment to deceive. You know, why don't you just look like a normal man? Yeah. Or, you know, the Catholic priest wearing his little dress. I wonder why he doesn't, you know, mind trannies, because he's wearing a dress himself, getting up, using that garment to deceive. You know, why don't you just dress like a normal person? Because at the end of the day, most of us that are dressed in a suit today, you wouldn't be able to know who's the pastor, who's not the pastor based on our clothes, because that's not what should matter. It's not about me. You know what it is? It's about this book. And when people don't like me or they don't like my preaching, let me tell you something. They just don't like this book. Because all I did this morning was just show you verses in this book over and over and over again. And you cannot like me, but let me tell you something. It's not that you don't like me. It's that you don't like the Bible. And so you don't like the word of God because I'm doing what it's telling me to do. Don't get mad at the guy that believes the Bible. Get mad at the guy that's lying about believing the Bible. And you know what? Never go to a church where you have a false prophet. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for giving us the word of God, a light and a lamp, something that we can actually see what's going on in this world. We can make sense of all the nonsense, of all the madness, of all the weirdness, of all the lies, of all the false gospels, the false religions, and the false prophets. And though they be 450-1, I pray that we would not be discouraged by the real men of God. We wouldn't be discouraged by the real word of God. That we wouldn't just want lies to be preached to us. That we wouldn't have a desire to hear false things. But rather we would like the truth, whether it's pleasant or not. I pray that you would help us to understand and appreciate the truth more. And I pray that you would help us to not give ear to these false prophets. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, for our last song, we're going to go to song number 392. One of my favorites, 392, A Soul Winner for Jesus. Song 392, sing it out on the first.
I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day.
He has so much for me. I want to make the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus.
Sing together as a congregation on the chorus. On the third.
Sing it, everybody. You're all listening.